Good afternoon and welcome to Focus on the Foothills. My name is Angela and my guest today is Susan Sturgill. And Susan is with the Wilts Pregnancy Care Center. And Susan, good to have you with us on the program today.
Always good to be here with you, Angela.
Now, January is an important month that everyone should know about. January is
Sanctity of Human Life Month.
And that's because of a court case that happened back in 1973.
Yes, Roe v. Wade, which ushered in abortion on demand as making it legal in every state across the United States.
And since that time, abortion has been legalized, and I'm fascinated how the terminology has changed through the years. It, I think, started out as a woman's right to choose and was for many years, and now then we've advanced all the way into it's women's health care.
Well, you can call it what you want. It is what it is.
And it's murder.
Yes, it is.
You are taking a life that God has given, and it's murder. But abortion remains legalized in this country. What do we do? What is the importance of having Sanctity of Life Month? And by the way, there is a Sanctity of Life Sunday coming up, too.
Yes,
right?
It's usually always the third Sunday in each in the month of January. But it's recognized for the whole month. And it isn't just about the unborn. It's also about the sanctity of all human life, whether mentally challenged, elderly, the ones who are unable to care for themselves. It's a focus on the importance of God's creation and the value that we need to recognize.
So many women have faced this decision in their life. Many see it as being nothing and it's just something they do. Others who have gone through this process and then they get right with God. And then they have guilt from this.
Yes.
You guys deal with that, too, at the Wilts Pregnancy Care Center, right?
Yes, we do. And I wish I could say every woman who tells us that she has had at least one past abortion has remorse. But the fact is, not all women will feel that. A lot of it depends on whether they recognize it as something harmful. It doesn't mean that it's not being harmful in their life. It's that they may not recognize it as harmful. But the majority of women that come in that will talk about having aborted a previous pregnancy, they have great remorse and regret over it. In fact, I will be starting up early this year. We haven't set the date for the beginning, but it'll probably be more like February or March to begin a small group study for a couple of women who want to walk through that process of finding that forgiveness and healing after abortion.
For some, especially for some maybe who get in church and who are who become Christians after they've had an abortion, for some this becomes a big guilt issue and something that they tend to let overshadow them, maybe to the point of, well, God can forgive me for everything else, but not that.
But not that. It's because, you know, we always say that we won't accept God's forgiveness because we don't know how to forgive ourselves.
Right.
Which is true. We don't know how to forgive ourselves, but I want to say that unless we can accept his forgiveness, we cannot learn how to forgive ourselves. So it isn't anything that makes us, we don't realize that what we're doing is actually saying that we are better than God or bigger than God or stronger than God or we don't do that consciously, but that's what we're doing. Instead of accepting the gift that God has given us and trusting him to apply that forgiveness in our lives, and then it becomes something God can use to minister to other people.
Now, what the Wilts Pregnancy Care Center does is to minister to people throughout the year. So talk to us a little bit in case people have forgotten or they don't know. What is the focus of what you do? What is the mission of what you do?
Well, our mission is threefold, has been from the day we opened our doors. We offer positive alternatives to abortion. In other words, if you are facing an unplanned, unwanted pregnancy or you're planning a pregnancy, whatever, we can help walk you through that process. We can help meet the needs that you're going to have for both yourself and your infant. We can also give you information on the alternatives. What does adoption look like and what would be involved in it and how do I begin to make that plan? Because to love your child enough to give birth to that child and know that you can't take care of it, but are willing to place it with someone who can. I mean, there are thousands of couples who would love to adopt because they cannot have children of their own. And so being able to refer them to an adoption agency, I'm not saying it's easy, because there's nothing of these choices that are easy, but it is one that is much easier to live with. And then, of course, for women who are considering abortion, they have to know what's available, what it involves. They have to begin to understand how their baby is developing and how far along they are. I mean, instead of thinking their child is this blob of tissue, to recognize this is a human life.
Now, that is actually something that lawmakers have tried to stop. They have tried to stop you from explaining to a woman what happens during an abortion. And they say, for whatever reason, that you shouldn't do that. But actually, you're just explaining to a woman, let me give you the facts about what's happening here. Right?
Yes, we don't use anything graphic. We don't use any scare tactics. There's none of this. What person would sit down and talk with their doctor before they have a surgical procedure, which is what this is?
Gallbladder or
anything, yeah, that is going to be surgically removed. And sit down and have your doctor explain to you what's going to happen and what the risks are involved in it. I don't know of anyone who wouldn't want to know that. So you can then make a choice. But if you say, well, you can't tell them because it might scare them, well, apply that to any other type surgery as well.
And I know a lot of people that have faced surgeries and they were scared to death going in.
Yes. But I still think that the woman who is informed and educated has the best opportunity to make the choice that she will live with. This is one thing that cannot be undone. It cannot be reversed. You cannot go back. Once you've taken the life of a human being, you cannot go back and undo that.
The finality of that, I don't think people grasp that. And I bet some, you have talked to some women who did not realize that until after the fact. And then the finality of it hit them that, hey, I can't do a redo or...
Well, and the initial reaction is one of relief. You know, when you're facing a major crisis that can actually change your future, to be able to have it handled, per se,
right,
done away with, the immediate feeling is one of relief. Oh, that's done. That's over with. But then the reality sets in that says, what have I done? And that cannot be undone. And that's why the difficulty begins to set in. So women either begin to lie to themselves, they push it away, bury it in a corner, never to think of it again. But reminders, whether it's sights or smells or sounds that can trigger that and bring back those memories, that can have a huge impact on them.
When women come to see you, and actually women and men come to see you, mm-hmm, this is not a one-shot deal. They don't just come one time and you say, okay, there's no coming back. We just give you everything one time. You actually go with them through the process.
Yes, we do. Like I said, that the very first part of our mission statement is those alternatives to abortion. So if we want to encourage a woman, whether she chooses to place for adoption or chooses to parent, we want to make sure that she's equipped to be able to go through her pregnancy. So we begin to educate her about the things that are happening with her body, about how the baby is developing, things to do or not to do. We provide them with maternity clothes. We were able to, for $75, buy 26 cases of brand new maternity clothes. So our clients absolutely love them. It's just been a huge blessing. To be able to have clothes that fit, that
right,
you feel well in during pregnancy, is a really big thing. But in the same token, everything they do earns them points, so that before the baby comes, if they're going to parent, they can then go into our store and get things that they need for their baby, which is just huge for them. Now, if a woman is considering placing for adoption, then we begin to show her information on how she begins to see her child as someone else's from the beginning.
Right.
So that when the finality of that day comes and she hands over her child, while it may be difficult, she's at least begun to ready herself for that, physically, mentally, that type of thing. And so our goal is just to be able to help them whichever way they want to, whatever they choose to do.
I was sitting here thinking about someone who had come to your facility. I was talking with you, and so I can't use names. I'm not allowed to, but I know this person. And she and her husband were expecting a little girl, and there were some complications before mm-hmm. or during the pregnancy. And I was actually in the hospital room with her when the doctor came in, and he never used the word abortion, mm-hmm. but that's what he was encouraging her to do. And she finally looked at him and she said, "Are you telling me to get rid of this child?" And he was saying, "Well, you know, there's no way that this child can survive. It's just going to be bad and blind." And he was just painting this horrible picture. And I was just standing there horrified at what I was hearing him say to her. And she burst into tears and she said, "No.
Yeah.
I will have this baby." Her life was actually on the line at that moment. And they were going to take the child a little early. This baby, by the way, did make it. And is doing well.
Isn't that amazing?
And is ruined by her grandmother. You can have her grandmother walk into the room and just speak. And immediately this child, who wasn't supposed to know anything, immediately knows who grandma is and is just having a fit to go to grandmother. But let God.
Yeah. Well, we have this idea that says, unless something is perfect, we don't want it. But, you know, we're not perfect.
I started to say, good grief, I'm not perfect, Susan.
Well, and
I'm so far
and
removed
see,
from
none
perfect.
Of us are. And what happens is when we try to order the hand of God, then we deprive ourselves of blessings God intends for us to have. It's always hard to understand some of the ways God works. But when we go through something and come out on the other side, we can be thankful for how God carried us through. If we'd never had that experience, we never have that knowledge.
Absolutely. We're going to talk more with Susan Sturgill about the Wilts Pregnancy Care Center, about the need for volunteers and how you can help, and some of the things that they're doing for their clients there. This is Focus on the Foothills. It is Sanctity of Life Month. We'll have more coming up after this. Welcome back to Focus on the Foothills. My name is Angela. My guest today is Susan Sturgill with the Wilts Pregnancy Care Center. January is Sanctity of Life Month. The third Sunday of the month is Sanctity of Life Sunday. I know several churches plan special events and special services for that day. Abortion has been legalized since 1973 in this country. Susan, there is possibly a little bit of good news that abortions are not on the rise. To be perfectly honest, if you have one abortion, that's one too many. But it used to be about 3,000 a day, every day? Is that still?
Oh, my goodness. It used to be over 4,000 a day.
Oh, really?
Yes, it did. In fact, we would see in the United States over a million. I think in 2012, there were 1,200,000 abortions that had been reported, whereas in 2014, there were only 954,000, as though that's a small number. The emphasis is that the number is reducing every year.
Right.
Now, the question arises, is the number reducing because there are fewer abortions or because some of the abortion providers are refusing to send in their records and their documents that will give the numbers of abortions? And so, you know, you may have some disparity with that. And then, too, when you have the abortion pill or the morning after pill that is now available, all of these that are out there on the market, and they don't fall into these statistics. So there is some room for error in there.
Well, now, some abortion clinics had closed because states had passed laws that required the doctors to have to be registered through a hospital to perform procedures. And so many of the abortion clinics had to close down. I think there's been a pushback on that. Where do we stand with that?
As far as North Carolina?
Yes.
Well, in North Carolina, for an abortion facility, you have to have a medical doctor who has hospital privileges. In other words, who has the authority to admit a patient. This is for the purpose, if something happens during the abortion, that they can be admitted to the hospital. Otherwise, they have to send them out of their clinic. They have to go to the hospital and admit themselves through the ER. And so by having that law in place, it's a protection for these women. Not only that, but the state here requires that our medical clinics meet the standard for a medical clinic. In other words, they have to be clean. They have to meet, they have to do the sterilization. There's all these things that many abortion clinics across the United States did not follow.
And over the years, there have been horror stories
yes.
from some of these clinics about how filthy everything was, and about how the women were treated, and about how the abortions were done, and it's hideous. Actually, some doctors, I think, have been brought up on charges through the years. This is not the stories that you hear, though, in mainstream media. They try to hide these stories.
Well, you have to understand that the abortion industry is a money-making industry. Like any other for-profit business, their bottom line is making money. So when you put them out there, they're going to do what they need to be able to make money. The later term abortions do yield more money. And so they don't want any legislation that's going to interfere with their money-making organization. Now, pregnancy care centers like ours and across the state, there's almost 75 pregnancy centers across the state of North Carolina. Our services are free. We don't charge for anything.
Right.
So our goal is not to make money. Our goal, our agenda is to be able to help women, especially when it comes to a choice regarding a pregnancy. It's life. It's what we're talking about.
Okay. Since you're not for profit, you're not charging for your services, how do you continue? Do you rely on folks donating both monetarily and donations to the stores that you have?
Everything we do is because someone has given. We pay our electric bill because someone has given. Our building is paid for because people gave. We have materials to give out in our store that are beautiful materials, cribs, bassinets. We have car seats and strollers and you name it, diapers. It's because someone has given. And so we've been in Wilkes County now 20 years, and it's because this community supports the work that we do, not just materially, but volunteers. We can't do what we do without volunteers.
Well, now you're planning a volunteer training coming up soon.
Yes,
right?
I am. I originally was looking at having it at the end of January, but I think we're having to move it to the first weekend in February. It'd be actually a Friday and a Saturday all day. We provide meals, but this training helps to give you an idea. Now, every woman who goes through this training doesn't mean, oh, you're locked in, you have to do this. Some women realize, I don't want to do this. I don't want to work one-on-one with a client. Just give me things to do, and I can help in the store, and I can wash baby clothes, or I can do those things. We need those women, too. But it's a priceless education that opens up this door that women will sit there and go, I just didn't realize all this was involved in the work that we do.
Right.
So, and it's important to us to do what we do well.
And you do Bible studies. Do you need men and women for Bible studies?
Yes, I do. Right now, we have a fatherhood program that's underway. Jeff Collins has just been wonderful to come alongside us. He works as a facilitator with this practical fatherhood class, but also he follows it up with discipleship with these young men. It's just been a wonderful program there. We have a group of Hispanic ladies that meet on Mondays for a Bible study at 10:30. We have our Spanish lady comes in there that is able to communicate so very well, and they do a Bible study. And then we have other one-on-one Bible studies that we do. In fact, I'll have two of them today with other women that come in just for the purpose of doing Bible study. So I'm looking for women who feel led to possibly begin a Bible study group, whether it's with moms or whether it's with teens. We have lots of things that we have on the agenda that we would love to see implemented, but we have to have the workers.
Well, I know that you would encourage folks to be much in prayer about what God would have them to do, what they feel led to do. I mean, you know, if you're in your prayer time and God is whispering Wilkes Pregnancy Care Center in your ear, by all means, call Susan Sturgill and
give me a call.
What can I do?
That's right.
What are some of the options there that I can get involved with? What is the number for them to call?
It is 336-838-9272.
And they can talk to you about if they want to do donations or if they want to get some volunteer training.
Yes.
All the
Any of that. And I want them to know that it's... We will follow what they want to do. I just ask them to open the door to see what God would have them do and then be willing to walk through it, and we walk through it with them. So,
and if they would like to donate to help with the moms or the babies, maybe they're going to have a baby shower at their church or their club or at work, and bring you the donations? Where would they bring those to?
They would bring them to 1224 School Street, right before you get to the driver's license agency there in Wilkesboro.
Really easy to find.
Yes.
All right. Susan Sturgill, we've run out of time, although we have lots more to talk about.
Always.
We always
do. I know.
Susan and I are never at a loss for words, just so you'll know. Susan Sturgill with the Wilkes Pregnancy Care Center, January Sanctity of Life Month, the third Sunday, Sanctity of Life Sunday. Keep that in mind. By all means, be much in prayer for the continued mission of
Thank
the Wilkes Pregnancy Care Center.
We need the prayers.
Absolutely. And if you can help, if you can volunteer, please do so. Again, that number, Susan, is
336-838-9272.
This has been Focus on the Foothills.